Welcome back, everyone, to the fourth Thursday of Lent. We continue reflecting upon St. Alphonsus Liguori's Lenten sermons. Father Christina, welcome back. I'm curious to see how our conversation is going to go today, because we're going to talk about, I think, heaven and hell, and particularly, can we actually know how many people go to hell? Is it few? Is it many? And so I'm curious to get your perspective on that. But first, St. Alphonsus's quote: "It is certain that God wishes everyone to be saved, but he will not force us to be saved. It is for us to choose. But how can he who chooses to walk in the way of hell ever find himself arrived in heaven? All sinners desire to be saved, and in the meantime they condemn themselves to hell, saying, 'I hope to save myself.' But who is so mad as to take poison with the hope of being cured? No one wishes to fall sick with the hope of being cured. And yet so many Christians, like madmen, kill their soul by sinning, saying, 'Hereafter I will think of a remedy.' Oh, delusion, which has sent so many to hell." I'm not sure how to start this conversation, Father Christina, but one thing that came to my mind is that, is it possible that one could hope to be saved or have the desire to be saved, yet not be saved, as it seems that St. Alphonsus is suggesting?
You know, elsewhere, and I think it might even be in and around where he is commenting on this, St. Alphonsus also makes a very bleak statement, but it's very direct, black and white, to the point. He says, "He who prays is saved, and he who does not pray is damned." And that's a shocking way of hearing it put. And of course, I think it requires a bit more nuance than it sounds like he's giving it. But the point is, if someone hopes to be saved sincerely, then they should be living out of that hope. And it's going to be demonstrated in the manner in which they live their life. But if someone takes salvation for granted, and I think the way that you hear this taken for granted most typically is from those who would say something like, "Well, I've never murdered anyone or robbed a bank, so I'm sure I'm good. Or I can't imagine God wouldn't let me into heaven." This sort of negative, I'm not sure what to call it, but operating from the negative perspective that as long as I haven't done X, then I will be okay, or I will be saved. But love is not about what we don't do. Love is about what we say yes to. Right? Love is a positive affirmation. It's not merely rejecting the things that are wrong. We reject the things that are wrong for the sake of the yes that we are called to make, which is why he begins this passage by saying that we must choose to be saved. We are not forced to be saved. It's a positive choice, a decision on our part, not just by process of elimination of the bad things that we could be doing but don't.
I think of this question: do many go to hell or do few go to hell? Many people have taken a stab at this. I don't know if we want to get into the weeds of it or not, but it's something that I think it's, I find it's an important consideration, because depending on which perspective you take really depends on how you live your life. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I remember listening to Dr. Ralph Martin reflect upon this. And so he's saying, few, many. And he says, "What we know is that few does not mean many, and many does not mean few." I think that's a good point. But getting to this idea of which position that we hold really does affect how we go forward. For example, if you think that few are saved, it's more difficult, then it really changes how you view evangelization. It really changes your view on the necessity of the sacraments, the urgency of prayer, the urgency of the virtuous life. Because if you take, now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you take the opposite, you know, many are going to probably go to heaven. Well, it tends then towards more of a lackadaisical Catholicism. And then our view is not on the eternal, but more on the temporary. And then maybe we start focusing more of our intention on temporal matters, like saving the environment and a brotherly fraternity and all these other things. Where Jesus is saying, wow, he says few and many. These are just my thoughts. What do you think?
Well, I completely agree with what you're saying, Ken. The gospel is clear. Our Lord has not been ambiguous. It's important to be helped to understand some further ways of interpreting what he's talking about, and also keeping a broader picture in mind. When he says that many take the wide path that leads to destruction, he's not making a numerical statement. He's making a quantitative statement, but that does not have a number attached to it or a percentage, right? He's not giving us a statistic. He's warning us about a tendency that we will each face in our life, which is to be drawn towards the wide and easy and comfortable road. There's a hike that you can do in Canmore up to something called Grassy Lakes. And when you start it, you're on a big gravel path, and then you get to a fork in the path, and there's a literal sign that says, easy way, hard way. And the easy way is always full. It's got tons of people walking up it because it's a big, wide, open path filled with gravel, and it just goes straight up. The hard path zigzags on switchbacks and goes up through the woods, and you got to climb up over rocks. It's obvious which way most people will want to go. But there's a magnificent view of the valley and a waterfall that you take when you go on the hard path. And I think we need to accept that there are consequences for choosing either. One of them, you're likelier to fall and get hurt and scrape your knee. But there is a payoff for having taken that path. The other one, you'll just be having smooth sailing. Where the analogy falls short is they both arrive at the same destination. And that's not the case with eternal life. If we start on an easy path that is always ordered towards our comfort, it will lead us in one direction only. And our Lord is warning us that he doesn't want us to be among the many who will be lured in that direction.
Well, Father Cristino, thanks for your words of wisdom today. Friends, please share with us below in the comments what stood out to you and why, and we will see you tomorrow. God bless you.